You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We get to continue our conversation, our monthly conversation with Concordia University System today. Looking forward to catching up with our friends from CUS. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining me today, the Reverend Dr. Jameson Hardy, President of the Concordia University System. Dr. Hardy, welcome back.
Good to see you.
And the Reverend Dr. Douglas Patel, Vice President for Concordia University System. Dr. Patel, welcome back.
Always a pleasure to be here.
I am excited to talk about Concordia University System because it is May, or May-cember, as some of us call it, because of all the activities going on this month. It's a busy time of year, isn't it? Especially when it comes to academics, whether it's high school or college, graduation tends to be the theme this month. And I think that's pretty typical around all our Concordias. May is a big time with graduation commencement ceremonies. So tell us what's going on with the Concordias.
Well, I just came back from Concordia St. Paul. Four of our Concordias had graduations this past weekend. I was able to be in St. Paul for all the festivities there, and they had their largest graduating class ever. There were three commencements of at least 300 graduates each, graduating undergrads, master's, and doctor level graduates. It was just a wonderful weekend.
Three commencement services?
Yes.
Wow.
That's like a normal Sunday for Spitzel.
So you were able to attend these. What is a commencement service like at a Concordia University?
It's when the university puts on all of its academic pomp and regalia.
Uh-huh.
The faculty, the administrators, myself, we're, you know, all decked out in our doctoral robes and TAMs, and then all of the students decked out in their newly earned academic gowns and mortarboards, and the doctors getting brand new hoods. You get to see all the regalia that shows what school people came from and where they earned their degrees. And whether they're tenured or not, it's really a fun thing. And then there's really the most important people there besides the students, the families, just the families gathering there on campus. We had some gorgeous weather in St. Paul, so they were able to take pictures outside, and the field house was just packed with families. And it was just a wonderful time to be there for those commencements. And of course, when you have that many students, you have a lot of names being read. They actually, Concordia St. Paul, they don't put that on a provost anymore. They hire professional voice talent to read the names so that they're all pronounced properly.
What would you say is unique about how Concordia University's approach commencement at a Lutheran institution?
Oh, well, the first, last, and throughout the ceremony, the name of Jesus is there. The ceremony, after being opened by the president officially, the first thing that happens is the campus chaplain says an invocation and asks a prayer of God's blessings on the graduates. He finishes also with a prayer, and the Christus Chorus then sang their traditional choral benediction in President Friedrich's charge to the candidates and his remarks to the graduates. It's all about how God had brought them to that place and how God has worked through that place to form them, and how now God is sending them out into the world, into many, many different vocations to serve others. So it's just the name of Jesus Christ is in everything.
See, that's the case, right? I mean, you begin any kind of service that way with an invocation, which is completely different than any secular university would necessarily start, at least a Trinitarian invocation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for our Concordias, the beauty of God's work in their life comes to culmination in graduation, right? And that's the beauty of what we have. As Douglas said, you know, four of our five institutions were graduating students this weekend. So it was a great weekend, but it was a weekend full of things and time, and can only be in one place at one time. He was able to be in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I happened to be out in Wyoming for a district convention that was scheduled this year. I was the parliamentarian for that. So I hadn't. Next year, Douglas and I will try to be at as many of the graduations as possible. So
that's quite the tour.
It is.
You mentioned earlier, Pastor Patel, that this was a record number of graduates for Concordia St. Paul.
Yes.
Any idea what, you know, how does that look for the future? Is enrollment continuing to increase? Why the record number this year?
Well, I think for St. Paul, the record number for them is because this year is sort of the culmination of a lot of building that they've been doing. Mm-hmm. I believe this may have been one of the first years that they granted doctorates in education and doctorates in kinesiology. Mm-hmm. So those are new graduates also building out their kinesiology school, building out their information technology school has created, of course, more graduates there. So the undergraduate graduation was Friday evening. That's the big kickoff event. But then the two graduations that were on Saturday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., those were mostly master's level and doctoral level graduates. There was a smatter of undergrads, but mostly master's and doctoral. And so those are, you know, people who are already in their careers, who are looking for a higher level degree to advance in their careers. They're a little older. So I think that's why they had a larger class this year.
And I believe many of those programs are available in a flexible online format as well. I know the kinesiology program is available online.
Well, the doctoral programs, yeah. I think all are some level hybrid or online.
They come in a variety. It really depends on what you're studying. Mm-hmm. Some of it is, you know, healthcare. A lot of that is intensely hands-on, but then some of it can be online or hybrid. It really depends on the program.
Were there other events surrounding commencement celebrations at Concordia St. Paul?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there were. I mean, when I got there, since the Board of Regents is there to sit up on the stage, because they are actually the ones who confer the degrees, the president speaks for them, but they had a meeting. So I met with them first. And then there was a sending service in the chapel for all of the church work graduates, asking God's blessings on them as they go out to serve as teachers or directors of Christian education or parish musicians, or for the young men who are going on to the seminaries to continue their studies. So there's that service. Then there was a special dinner that honored some of the people who were receiving honorary doctorates at the commencements. And we got to, you know, have dinner with them, talk with them, hear a little bit about their stories, and then all the commencements. So that a very full weekend, yes.
What does it mean to you to be able to be on campus for this occasion?
It's really wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful to be among the students. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful at graduation time to see the parents, because on a campus, you only see the parents en masse when they arrive and when they graduate. And so this is one of those opportunities. And then, of course, because it's graduation, everybody's there. The whole faculty's there. Regents are there, the entire administration, everybody's just in one place. And it gives me an opportunity as the VP of CUS to just talk to people, remake connections, see people that I email with a lot in person, and just, you know, shake a hand and say hi, because it's really important for us to do that sort of thing face to face.
Now, I know you're looking forward to that next year, to visiting campuses for graduation. How do you hope to be involved, just participant and witnessing graduations?
Well, I got to be frank with you. This week at the Wyoming District Convention, I was introduced as eye candy. So I think I've never been introduced as eye candy. I think simply I've been on the Board of Regents of CUW, so I've been at graduation ceremonies, and simply being up there with the administration, faculty, and the like, participating by presence, really. I mean, just being able to be there to see and encourage these young people and these folks getting degrees is really an important thing. I mean, at the end of the conversation, as I said, this is the culmination of a long time of work. And I think for all of our Concordias, it's the same. Regarding church work, though, I mean, St. Paul, for example, they had their largest church work program this year, attendance of 102 church workers. So, I mean, you know, in terms of, I don't know how many of those were actually church workers that graduated this time, but, you know, at some point we see these numbers continually grow for church work. There's going to be more church workers available in the future. And so being there to witness that is something I'm certainly looking forward to, and encouraging our universities to keep up the good work. You know, the biblical exhortation, well done, is something that comes to mind for graduation.
I want to talk a little bit more about church work in just a moment when we come back from the break, but You may have noticed that Sarah's not here today. At the time of this recording, Sarah is away, also celebrating commencement in her graduation at Concordia University Irvine,
right,
as she has completed the master's degree in organizational leadership. So when she comes back to us, she'll be an organized leader.
I was hoping she'd be here today so we could congratulate her in person. But yeah, absolutely, congratulations to her. That's a lot of work. And you're working.
Indeed, she's been working hard. And everything that she's been learning in the program at Concordia University Irvine has been very beneficial to her work here and to us as a team as well. We've certainly implemented a lot of what she's been learning through the program, and it's been very useful. So by the time this airs, she'll have been back in the office for probably a couple of weeks now and celebrating with us here back in the office. We're going to talk more about graduation ceremonies, commencement ceremonies at the Concordia Universities in just a moment as we continue our conversation with the Concordia University system. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Today we are continuing our conversation, our monthly conversation with the Concordia University System. We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Jameson Hardy, President of the Concordia University System, and the Reverend Dr. Douglas Patel, Vice President for Concordia University System. Now, we've been talking about commencement ceremonies. You were, Dr. Patel, were able to visit Concordia University St. Paul and participate in commencement ceremonies there. And I know next year, hopes that you can visit more of the Concordia Universities during graduation season. We mentioned briefly the increase in church work students at the Concordia Universities, and including Concordia University St. Paul during your visit. What's the outlook for students graduating from Concordia Universities, whether it's in church work or other programs? What does it mean to graduate from a Concordia University, and what it looks like in terms of the future for them?
Well, I can tell you the first thing is you got a job. I mean, that's so for parents who are concerned about job placement upon completion of program. No, it's really important to know that, because there's 100% placement in church work preparation in terms of that. And then those students going on to pre-sem or even deaconess studies, they have that coming up. And I think it's really important for the church to know that we are on an uphill trajectory in increasing enrollment and increasing awareness. We just had a meeting this morning with Set Apart to Serve and all the great work that they're doing to encourage a culture change within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod towards considering church work. And so, you know, as a graduate church work student, there's opportunities all over the place. And I was at the Fort Wayne Seminary last week for call night. One of my members from my parish in Michigan received a call. And, you know, it's just that special time. It's the first time in a decade that I've sat in the pews. I've normally been up front as district president and bishop of the English district. But, you know, you have all the different emotional reactions to it, right? I mean, because at the seminary vicarage and placement service, they're telling you where to go. And my member got an assignment in South Dakota, which I vicared there. So I have a strong partiality for the blessed state of South Dakota. But behind us was, I believe, to be a wife of one of the seminarians who wasn't pleased where she was going. But nonetheless, it's the announcement of where God wants you to serve. And at the college level, I think that gets all kind of hammered out before graduation. Most students have opportunity to choose between actually multiple calls. We just got a graduate from Mequon last year at my parish, and she had two separate calls to consider. And that's the thing, right? That's the thing about currently not having enough church workers, is you have options. And that's, in some respects, that's good. But in other respects, you know, there's, for every situation where that happens, there's an institution that doesn't get a church worker. So we've got to keep that in mind, as well as we celebrate the immediacy of being able to get right at your vocation, you know.
Something I saw at Concordia St. Paul, and I've seen it at our other schools, you know, graduation can be a little bit of a bittersweet moment.
Sure.
Because there's all the excitement of what's coming tomorrow and moving on into exciting new careers and calls. And at the same time, leaving behind that place you've been so comfortable in for 4 years and the friends you've made. But that speaks very well of our Concordias and not just the excellent education and academics that is available there, but the relationships that are built. And I can tell you, I was in St. Paul and I got a text from my college roommate saying, hey, how you doing? And I said, well, I'm at a commencement at St. Paul. And, you know, we stay in touch and you make lifelong friends and lifelong coworkers at the Concordia universities. And those are relationships that continue on. So Dan, if you're listening, it was good to hear from you the other day.
I mean, that's certainly true. There are many lifelong relationships that are forged in those wee hours of the morning studying or all the things that make up college life. And even some marriages are made at Concordia University. Right?
Oh, Lord.
Well, thanks be to God for those relationships, though, that happen that are developed at the Concordia universities. I know I still cross paths with many of my friends from my time at Concordia University, River Force, now Concordia University, Chicago. Many of my fellow classmates in the DCE program that I still cross paths with through my work here and all the, you know, the opportunities that I have getting to participate in things across the Synod as well. Let's talk about, we have just a few minutes left here. Let's talk about anything else about graduation before we move on to our revisiting of formal visits. We've been talking in our previous conversations about formal visits. Where are we in that process?
Yeah, so we have completed two formal visits, one to Concordia Irvine in January and one to Concordia Nebraska in February. And those formal visitation reports can be found on cus.edu. Why that's important is because it's the way in which we communicate the health and wellness of our universities to the church. According to the bylaws, we have a public website, which cus.edu is our website, and you can find those reports. Now, those reports, I think in both cases, are very, very good. There's not much concern about the Lutheran identity of our universities or about the universities as a whole. We are approaching Chicago, Minneapolis, and Quan in the fall, September, October, November, one a month. And then next year, we'll start another full round of informal visits. And so the formal visits are that word to the church on the health and wellness of our schools. And so, you know, folks, I would really encourage folks to read the report. They're not long, five pages. And they're written in a very, very easy style of description. I want to thank Michael Thomas and Bernard Bull, the two presidents of Irvine and Nebraska, very gracious hosts. And again, glowing reports on both of them. And I don't see anything changing for the other three institutions leading up to it. But it's an intense process. I mean, the institutions go through a lot of work preparing it. I mean, the document we received from Nebraska, it was huge.
Voluminous.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll see. Hopefully that doesn't build. Each institution so far, it's gotten bigger and bigger. I'm hoping it doesn't build.
It is an opportunity for them, the faculty, the administration, to take a look at what they've been doing and how they're doing it. And then when our visitation team comes, just to have the conversation and talk with them. And they're well prepared because, as I said, voluminous self-reporting. So they're all set and ready to go. And they're very eager to tell us all the good stuff that's going on at the universities. And our visitation teams walk away from those with good stuff to report to the church. So please go to the website and have a look at those reports.
Listening to how you're describing the formal visitation process, it sounds kind of similar to an accreditation process.
Yeah, it's very similar.
And the purpose of an accreditation process, an accreditation, is to help an organization ensure that you're doing what you say you do, right? To be who you say you are. Would you say that's what the formal visits are as well, to ensure that you're staying on track with who you are intended to be as a university?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Synod, the LEMOs are that document that we measure whether or not they are staying Lutheran. And there's a lot of talk out there about the LEMOs. I think the LEMOs are a great roadmap. They're certainly not some kind of a legalistic measuring stick. That's not what we don't rate them on the LEMOs.
What's a LEMO? Sorry.
Lutheran Identity and Mission Outcome Standards. Yeah, that's the group. That's the seven categorical things that we look for. And it's important. I mean, look, the formal visitation team is made up of six people. And it goes like this: a fellow administrator from a fellow Concordia, a fellow faculty member from another Concordia institution, a regent from a fellow institution, a standard or just an average pastor, meaning nothing connected to the Concordias, a lay person, you know, that is out there with no connection to a Concordia, and then a district president who has a Concordia in their district. And then Douglas and I are there as facilitators. And why that's important is because the informal visits is generally staffed by CUS board members and Douglas and myself. And so the informal is a group of people that is completely and utterly disconnected. And so when they're using the LIMOS, the Lutheran Identity and Mission Outcome Standards, it's not like we, the CUS, Douglas and myself, have this check marks of things that we're looking at. They get to write the report. We actually don't get to write the report. We don't get to contribute to the report. So we just facilitate. And it's good because it's the church talking to the church. It's the church reporting to the church. And I think this is one of the greatest things we could have done for the college system is to adopt this process. Because, yeah, accreditation has, they check boxes. We check LIMOS. We're not checking boxes. We're checking, you know, is Christ predominant in everything? Is, you know, is the gospel preached? Is the chapel a Lutheran worship service? I mean, these are the kind of things that we do. And I think all five of our institutions do a really good job at that.
And those, you mentioned the reports are made available as well.
Correct. The final, so the way it goes, the final report is written by the committee. Douglas and I submit it to the president. The president has X number of days to retort. If we find a deficiency, the bylaws have all kinds of things that they can do to fix the deficiency. But if not, then I, as president, CUS, we qualify the institution as passing their formal visitation. And then that report is posted on cus.edu.
You can find the formal reports there. Anything else to share this month as we wrap up our time together today with just about a minute left?
No, it's been a really busy and great week. Thanks to President Friedrich and the faculty and staff and the students and parents and everybody at Concordia St. Paul for a wonderful weekend. And congratulations to all of our graduates across the Concordia University system. Just thank God for all the work that he's doing among us.
And I'll have the pleasure this afternoon to be at Concordia, Wisconsin for their Ignite Inspire event tomorrow. I'll be speaking on biblical resilience on campus. So.
Very good. Well, thank you both for spending time with us. Again, cus.edu is the website where you can learn more about the Concordia University system. My guests today, the Reverend Dr. Jameson Hardy and the Reverend Dr. Douglas Battelle from the Concordia University system. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Very good.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.